This is Kathy Figgin, and I'm at Anders Woodard's house in San Mateo, and it's February 18th, 1985.
Yeah,
you're
picking it up.
Now, you might not like what I might tell you.
Well, I don't know anything about it, so you can probably tell me anything, and I'll believe it.
What you looking for? You want to talk about the trapping, the coon hunting or something? Or you want to talk about raising potatoes or what?
I want to talk about the trap and how it's trapping. Done. And, you know, how you set your traps, what the traps are made out of. Also, background on how long you've been doing it, where you learned it. If it's a common activity in this area.
Well, it is. I've been at it a good while. I expect 40 years probably. Not right here now. I haven't been here that long, but yes, it's been about 58 years since I started trapping. And I trapped a while, and then I got off of it, and then got back on it.
Now, when you started, where did you start? What state?
Well, I started in the state of Florida, but in the county of Perry.
Taylor
County.
Where's that?
That's west of here, about 150 miles.
Oh, okay.
This side of Tallahassee.
And they used steel traps in Tallahassee.
Yeah, at that time we used steel traps. You know what a steel trap is?
Oh, it's made out of steel. I don't know. I have no idea what they
are. Let me step here and I'll get one and bring it and you can look at it.
Oh, okay. Or we could do that if you want. Can I still go out with you tomorrow when you go check the traps?
Well, we won't check them tomorrow, honey.
Uh-huh.
We'll have to wait another day. We've hunted coon sign and can't find it. Not enough to put a trap on. Go back.
Okay. I'm sorry, what did you say about, why do you have to wait another day?
Well, we might not find them more. If we don't find some coon sign, won't be no use set the trap.
Oh, what's a coon sign?
Well,
that's their tracks.
It's their tracks where they trail, you know, in the woods.
Uh-huh.
They'll come in this pond and fish it, and then they'll make a trail going across to the other pond.
So you go out to check the traps?
Go out to check if we can find some trails while we can sit the trap and catch some more, but if we can't find none, well, we won't be able to get the catch.
They won't put that back in.
They won't put the
traps
out.
No.
Oh, so you go out first and check for tracks before you even put the traps out?
No, we go and check the sign.
Well, that's
check
tracks.
Yeah, where they walked.
Uh-huh.
And if we don't find that, we won't put the trap there, you see.
So did you put any out today?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Because you told me you were going to go. I thought you had
we went for that.
Uh-huh. They went to look for some.
When you say we, who goes with you?
One of my sons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's trapping with me, and we trap together because we don't either really like to be way off in the woods by ourselves, you know. So we like to have company, and we go together. But, if we can find some more sign, we'll put the traps out. But I can show you out here after a little.
Okay.
Know about it.
Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah, excuse me and go ahead.
You said when you started 58 years ago, were you making your living doing that?
Yeah. Oh, yes, ma'am.
In the Tallahassee area?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I had a wife and, two or three children? Two.
Yeah, I can't remember two of them.
We started when Albert was a baby. And I trapped for probably about 8 or 9 years, trap every winter.
How old were you?
I was about 22.
Mm-hmm. Did you have another profession?
Farming.
Well, I farmed, and I turpentined.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir.
Oh, does anybody still do that? We've been looking all over the area for turpentine steel people.
There's one man here in Palatia that I think he's a turpentine in some.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know his name?
Oh, I'll tell you the name.
Kite.
Lewis Kite.
Do you know how to spell Lewis Kite?
Kite, yes, ma'am.
K-I-T-E?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I tell him that you gave me his name?
If you'd like.
Great, because there's only one person, one woman near Jacksonville that somebody located, and that's the only person in this entire area.
Well, there's a lady over here. I don't know if she's still up.
No, she's out of it.
She is?
Yeah.
So he has a still?
Oh. Well, now, Kite doesn't have a still. He just works and makes the gum and takes it to Tallahassee out of Jacksonville and sells it. He sells the crude gum there, but I turpentine for about 49 years. I rode a horse nearly all the time. And, of course, naturally, we come here. We moved here about 28 years ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I moved here to Turpentine, and Turpentine's up till 3 years ago. Turpentine went out, so I just sit still here and been picking about here and yonder.
Just until 3 years ago. Did you do the... Well, how did you Turpentine...
Well, you see, I had a bunch of men, and I would get up and kill them out in the woods, put them out, and they would one work this area and one that area over there and another one over here. Then I'd come back and get on my horse and ride around and see them and check with them, see what they were doing. If they left any timber, well, I'd find it and tell them about it.
So I don't know how does the process work? I don't know anything about turpentining.
Yeah. Well, for instance, see, now my fingers is trees. Mm-hmm. We'll come in this area, we'll come to this tree and we'll put a face on it. We'll hew it off and put a face on it, put a cup on it, the next and like that. And then we'll come by there once a week. I used to do it once a week, but got to where they do it every other week. Come by there and put a streak on that with a hack, and the gum would run out in the cup. And the time we did that twice, that cup would be full of gum, or right about full. Then we'd take a huge bucket, well, it was a regular nail keg. Have you saw nail kegs in the stores?
Mm-hmm.
A 100-pound nail keg made a good dip bucket. You'd take the rings off and make you some good rings and put on it and put your handle on it where you could tote it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You'd go there and dip that cup out in that bucket, and when you get that bucket full... When you get that bucket full,
yeah.
Well, you carry it out there somewhere and put it in the barrel, and you dip all around and
Daddy,
put it in that.
Somebody wants to talk to you, can you?
That's
where you're at now.
There we go. Well, you're telling me about collecting it and putting it into
yeah.
a big.
But you dip that gum up and put it in that barrel, and you keep around till you fill your barrel up, and then you move over there to another barrel. Or either you have your barrel on a wagon, and there's 3-4 barrels on there. And you drive your wagon up and fill up a barrel, and then you fill up another one. And sometimes some men could dip 4 barrels a day, 60-gallon barrels. And they'd dip 4 barrels a day. Well, whenever they did that, well, they'd drive out somewhere side of the road and dump it off, or even may bang it on into the still, you know.
Where was the still located?
Well, at around the place. Now, we have an old still over here.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
I
ma'am.
I can take pictures of?
Oh, it's across here about a quarter of a mile, I imagine.
Oh, okay. I'd like to.
Well, we'll go around there directly.
Maybe the day that we go out to check the traps.
All right. But I used to turpentine, and there was a long time that I would get 40 barrels of gum a week, get it dipped, you know, a week.
And how big are the cups that are on the tree?
Oh, they're quart cups.
Isn't it real sticky? I mean,
yes, ma'am.
How do you get it out into the barrel?
You take a paddle. You have an iron paddle. It's the main part of the paddle is about that long, and then it has a handle on it, kind of like a big spoon-like.
Uh-huh.
And you take your cup and stick your paddle in there and wring it around. That cuts it loose from the cup, and you can pour it right in your bucket. After anyone gets used to it, you know, well, they can whip it out of their face.
Wow. What time of year do you do that?
You start in March to chipping, and then in April you go to dipping, and you dip once a month on down till the weather gets cold again.
Was it different over near Tallahassee, or is it the same?
No, ma'am. It's about the same everywhere around. They was turpentine stills all along, every 4, 5, 6 miles, 8 miles, something like that, you know, all along. Folks had turpentine. And they would join up boxes. My boxes would join the man behind me there, you know, and then I'd join up to a man ahead of me, probably, on like that. And we'd cut that box on there, and we'd work it up about 6 years. 6 years, you'd get it. It wouldn't be high as that ceiling there, but would probably be high as that door. Well, then whenever it got that high, well, you'd go there and take the cup off of that and then get around behind the tree and put another cup on. See, you work this side up once.
You use the same tree.
Yes.
Yeah, same tree up on one side. Oh. But you change your tools. They'll tell her how you change those tools, you know.
Yeah, well, you have different tools for it. I used to have to take an axe and blaze that tree down and then take a mold and stick it in there, stick your tin in. But they got to where they wouldn't do that. They would just work the bark down and nail the tin on the tree, on the round tree. I don't like it that way, but they had to do that on account of the bugs got to kill in the tree. You skin a tree and the bugs would get into it.
So they would just grow into the tree.
Yes, and go in there and kill it, too.
How many years you work it with one, and then you get a long-handled puller?
Well, you'd take what we call a hack, and you would have that in a short stalk, and you would chip it down here till it got on up high as your head. Then you'd lay that down and get a long stalk with a puller on the end of it, and you'd put it up there and pull it through.
Do you still have a lot of this equipment?
Oh, some of it, yes, ma'am.
Maybe I can get pictures of it.
Well, yes, maybe so.
Because it's definitely something people aren't doing anymore.
No,
it's nice
no they're not doing it. We can get pictures of it, I think.
I think I got some write-ups.
But I worked it about 49 years from the time I started.
So farming and turpentining and trapping, that's what you've done all your life?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I did carpenter a little bit, but I never did stick with it very long. I like to get out in the woods.
Uh-huh. Well, what happened then with the gum? The still, were you the man that owned the still?
No. I hired to the man that owned the still.
Oh, okay. So not everybody had their own?
No, ma'am. Just the operator would have a still, and maybe he wouldn't hit a lick at it, you know. He'd just have people to do it, have a woodsman or two. And I have worked where there would be four or five woodmen in one camp, you know. Get up and go off like that, and every man have his ride back yonder, one back this way, and one here, and one yonder. Be four or five in one place. And just a bunch of labor, you know, colored people, plenty of them. Mm-hmm. And I've worked at it in the wintertime whenever the water would be froze, and you'd walk out on the ice and break and fall in, maybe half leg or knee deep. That cold water.
Yeah. What were they using the kerosene for? Turpentine for?
Turpentine. Well, they carried. They would steal it. People that had steels would steal it, and then they would sell it to Jacksonville, the spirits and the rosin. They would sell it to Jacksonville.
The spirits and the what?
Rosin. You see, when you steal.
What do you do with that?
When you steam the spirits out of it, then the rosin gets hard. And they would put it in a barrel, and it looked about like that tea there in the barrel, but it'd be so hard you'd have to break it up to get it out. So the barrels was homemade barrels. They make them here at the Cooper Shed. And you could just knock them hoops off of it, and the barrel would spread apart, and you'd get the whole rosin out at one time.
Where was there a Cooper shop around here?
Yeah, there was one over there, but it's gone. You can't tell much about it.
That's too bad.
We'll go around there and look at the old still if you'd like.
Oh, yeah.
But
here's him making syrup around there too, where the ground cane makes syrup. Grind the cane and make the syrup.
Oh, gosh. 1979. Were you still doing this actively?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
They set up one of these in the state park there, in the Stephen Foster Park.
Yeah, they did?
Last year, and they had a lot of schools come in for demonstrations to show it.
Yeah. Did they have anybody that could make the syrup?
Yeah, they had a man. I think he was part of the Parks Department that worked on it.
Do you like syrup?
Oh, yeah.
You do? Don't we have a sample bottle in there?
I think so.
What makes the best syrup? The tree?
Sugar cane.
Sugar cane makes the best syrup.
That's what you use?
Yes, sir. Regular sugar cane. I like to make it. I'm not a professional hand, but I've been at it a long time. But I like to grind cane 3-4 days or a week, you know.
You still do it?
Yes, ma'am.
You still do?
Yes, ma'am. We ground here a little while back, just before Christmas, a little while, middle of December, I reckon it was.
Well, where do you have your equipment?
Oh, it's around here, just a little piece around there.
So what happened with the resin? What do they use resin for?
Oh, well, several different things. Now, that turpentine, they make paint out of that. Mm-hmm. But the rosin, I don't know what all they do with it, except in one thing. Now, you take around a big mill where they pull in it with belts, that belt will get slick where it won't pull that wheel, hold that wheel. And they take some of that rosin and put on that belt, and he'll crush it and get the wheel sticky and the belt. And he'll pull that belt there, then he'll tighten that belt up on that wheel where he'll just pull it right on. That's one thing to do with it. I don't know what all left.
I saw a sign on the road going to Hastings that said, "We sell turpentine." And I was wondering, well, why would people use turpentine now?
Well, that's raw. I imagine that people just get it out of the wood and they have to carry it off and have it stilled, you know. They still it to separate the spirits from the rosin.
They might have it already raw turpentine that might be
This raw turpentine, but they're not stealing it, I know, because they don't have a still. But I started turpentine in way back yonder, directly I was, well, before I was ever married. And then after we was married a while, well, I went back and worked it a while longer. And then I got out for a little while and finally got into it, and I rid woods for about 49 years.
You did what?
Rid woods, you know, ride the woods and check
the men. She don't understand that.
Well, the men would be out there.
Time, and he takes care of it by, he rides a horse, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's what he calls riding woods.
Okay.
They would be scattered out in the woods, a chipping and a dipping, you know, working to make the turpentine, and I'd get on the horse and ride around behind them to see if they were doing the work.
Oh, well, you were like a foreman.
Right, right, that's what it was. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
Now, what time of year did you do that?
Well, you would start about the 15th of March, you would start chipping, and then in a month you'd go to dipping, and then you could work the rest of the year as long as it stayed hot, while you could just keep chipping and dipping.
Were you doing that at the same time you were farming?
No, ma'am. I farmed and then quit that and then went to riding.
Oh, okay.
Seven times. Okay. Did one at a time. But I left the turpentine, and back when you could get labor, I could get it done.
Now, when you were out on your horse in the woods, did you also use that opportunity to look for traps?
Traps?
Well, no,
traps.
Ma'am. No, ma'am. I didn't trap when I was turpentine. I mean, now, one winter I did, I trapped while I was working.
Uh-huh.
But that's the only time. The other times, I didn't bother with the traps. I just went ahead with my work and let that go. But I don't know. I believe it's about, we've been here about, I believe, 5 years, 4 or 5 years when I trapped one winter. I caught 82 coons, I believe, and about 5 otters. But after that, I didn't trap any more then until after I quit turpentining. But,
which was 3 years ago?
Yes, ma'am.
Just 3 years ago.
Yes. Well, he retired, and then that gave him more opportunity to trap, you know. Am I cutting in and interfering?
Oh, no. I was just thinking, if it was just 3 years ago, and there's nobody doing it very actively anymore?
No, ma'am. There's one man in town, Perry.
Just this man?
Lewis Kite, yes, ma'am.
Lewis Kite. What happened? What happened 3 years ago? Or since?
Well, you see, for the past several years, they've been cutting timber. And they would cut the turpentine timber. When they'd get ready to cut this block over here, well, they'd cut right on through the turpentine timber, and they kept cutting it down till it was all gone.
What's turpentine timber?
Well, that's timber that we work in, you know, that we turpentine on.
Is it a particular type of wood?
Yes, ma'am.
Which tree?
Well, you have to turpentine, and you have to cup your trees from 10 inches in diameter up. You can't go below that. And whenever they come in and cut them down for pulpwood, well, that stops the turpentine.
Yeah.
And about everybody cut the turpentine timber. And
is there one particular kind of tree that...
Yes, ma'am.
It's better than others?
Yes, ma'am. Yellow slash.
Yellow slash?
Yellow slash, yes, ma'am.
Was that? Is it?
Yes, ma'am. It was all over the woods. But there was what we call black pine around, too. It don't run gum.
Uh-huh.
It just something stands there. We can run down here in the woods, and I can show you some faces, some trees that got faces on it.
Great.
And you, that might help you to understand it, too.
This is all very new.
Well, let's just leave you a quick minute here.
Do we'll right now? Okay.
Exactly.
This is testing.
This is Kathy Figgin, and I'm continuing my conversation with Anders Woodard, and it's now February 19th, 1985.
Yeah, he wanted me to ask you how you skinned the coons and what kinds of tools you use.
I use my pocket knife.
Hmm.
And see, that's what I use to skin them with. It gets dull in a little while. You have to whet it again, you know, to get it sharp.
There's no special type of tool that you use, just your own pocket knife.
Yes. ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And I meant to tell her how you split it, you know, and skin it.
Well.
And maybe you can just start from taking it out of the trap, that it's alive in the trap.
Well, in trapping, when you find a coon trail, you set your trap on it.
Okay, what are some of the signs? We could talk about that.
Well, they will walk along, and a number of them will walk in one place till they'll mash the grass down and make a little plain trail. Just a little narrow, plain trail. And they don't dig the dirt up. They step on the grass, you know, with the pad of their foot is soaked.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't dig it up, but they mash the grass down, and they walk there and make that trail. Well, you set your trap there by that trail with some bait in it. Now, we take sardines and light bread, about two slices of light bread.
Light bread?
Yes, ma'am.
What's that?
Three.
White bread?
Uh-huh. We take about two or three slices of that and crumble it up in a bowl and open one can of sardines and pour in there and stir it up. And all of it then smells like sardines.
That's a good idea.
So we take a paddle, a meat paddle is what we used, and we'll dip out about two tablespoonfuls of this mixed up food and put in a sardine can in the back of the trap. Well, he'll come along and smell that, and he'll get hunting around and searching, and he'll find the door, and when he goes in and steps on the treadle, that shuts the gate behind him. Then when we come along and find him, why, we call it a choke. Mm-hmm. It's a pipe, about an inch pipe, with a steel cable run through it, in a way to where when you pull it up, it closes up. So we stick that over his head and pull him out and knock him in the head with a hammer.
That's like you showed me yesterday.
Yes, ma'am. Right. So when we knock him in the head, then we'll load him on the truck and that evening come on home. We'll skin him. We'll get out there with our pocket knife. And we started his hind legs here. We'll cut right around his leg. Cut right around his leg. And then rip him from there right on here. Back down that way, and we just skin it off with a knife and peel it back both sides, you know, the front and the back, and turn it down over his head, and it come right on off and you skin his head too. So when you get through, you've got all the hide together. It's just split open here and the back.
You do all that with a pocket knife?
Yes, ma'am.
And you clean it off with a pocket knife?
Yes, ma'am. So you've got it skinned, and then we butcher the coon. And put him in the freezer.
What do you take out when you
his entrails? Take out all of his entrails, right on down even to his goozle there. Take it all out, you know, and we bury that.
You bury it?
Yes, ma'am.
Why?
Well, to keep it from stinking out. You see, I only have a small piece of land here, about 2 acres, and I try to keep that clean, and I can't throw stuff like that on the other fellow's land, so. I take it out there and bury it.
It smells too bad. What,
yes, ma'am.
Garbage?
Right, yeah. Right, yes. So we bury it to take care of that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Then we put the coon in a paper bag, put him in the freezer. He stays there till we get ready to go off and sell him. So.
And do you treat the hides at all?
No, ma'am.
You just...
No, ma'am. We spread them out, because it's round, you know. But we spread it out and roll it up and lay it in a paper sack. But we'll keep putting in until we get that sack full. Uh-huh. Well, now, I called a man last night at the hide bar, and he told me he would come here a Thursday evening about 3 or 4 o'clock, so we'll sell hides. The first time we sold... He come here about 2 o'clock, I believe. And he bought $1,014 worth of hides here.
How many was that? How many coonskins?
Well, I don't know really. I believe we had 50.
50?
No, ma'am. Another man had 35.
Oh, okay.
Another man had 35. And then another man had 26, I believe. But all of them together. was $1,014 worth. Well, then the second time he come and bought hides, the first time we had $792 worth of hides. The second time we had $820 worth.
How long ago was this?
Well, that's been 3 weeks ago, hasn't it?
Oh, you're just...
One was January the 5th, one was January the 19th.
You're just talking about this season. See, I
yes,
thought,
ma'am.
Okay.
This season. Well, now we've got about $400 or better to go this coming Thursday.
Do you bargain with the man, or is it set? Does he tell you how much he's going to give you?
No, he'll tell us when he gets here, you know. Uh-huh. I asked him last night if they'd changed. He said, no, it's just like it was when he was here before.
Now, what's so the
last
time?
The best hides, the first time he gave us $9 a piece for them.
What do you mean the best hide? What makes a better hide?
Well, it's a big hide, and then it's got good fur on it, you know. It's not skinned up or anything. Good dark hide.
Dark?
Yeah, but there's some of them that... I'd presume in the trap they would get to scratching themselves, you know, and they would rub the hide, the hair off in the place, leave it bare.
Uh-huh.
He cut them down. Some of them he'd give us $6 for, and some of us he'd give us $4 for. And then the little ones, call them kittens, he'd just give us $2 a piece for them. So that's how come we're saving these kittens out here, you know.
Until they get bigger.
Yeah, until they get bigger. We're going to feed them up and let them grow. And then they'll be big enough they won't be kittens anymore.
But do you have to do that? Do you have to kill them before the 28th?
Yes, ma'am. Well, no. The 28th is the end of trapping. Now, you can skin your coons up and can take your hide off and sell them. They give you grace for that much of it. You don't have to be rid of it by then, but just quit trapping then. Which usually, if we go this morning, for instance, say today was the last day and we went out, we picked up all our traps. Then when we come in, well, we skinned all our coons. But some people don't.
Like, when do you think those coons out there that you're keeping, the kittens, when will they be?
Next fall.
Oh, you're keeping that long?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
ma'am. What's the most that you've ever had, kept?
Well, this is the first time we've ever fed any like that. We have 8 now.
The first time?
Yes,
in
ma'am.
All your seasons?
Yes,
now?
Ma'am.
How come you started this year?
Well, he didn't pay enough for them hides, you know. And then the coon was little. You couldn't get much out of that. About $2 a piece, but $4 is not enough to pay you for it. So we just talked about it and decided, well, we catch one, we'll shed him up and feed him, let him grow up. We may feed them a while and turn them out here, you know, and then let them run through the summer outside and go where they please, and then if they hear this coming fall, we'll catch them again.
Put a little tag on
them. Yeah,
so
yeah. We could, well, sometimes people can do that like they do the stock, you know, the hogs and cows.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can mark their ear a little bit. We might do them coons out of way and turn them out and just let them go, you know.
How long have you been coon?
Oh, about 58 years.
Oh, is that all?
We started 2 years after we was married, and we've been married better than 60 years.
Oh, my God, that's great. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
And you always did that during your yearly cycle then? It was
well, no, ma'am. Now, I trapped several years after we was married. I trapped about... I believe about 6 or 7 years every winter.
Oh,
yes, ma'am.
Just in the wintertime.
But then, after that, I got into the turpentine, and I couldn't be off the trap, so I just quit the trapping and left it alone.
So when you were trapping and farming.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So you could do that in the wintertime.
Right.
And still farm.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Well, back in the Depression, when times was hard and there wasn't any money, you couldn't get any money. I would go and work today, and then tonight I'd take my gun and go hunting. And I'd kill a coon, kill a deer, or kill an alligator. And we could sell alligators. A hide 7 foot long, we could get $2.25 for it.
$2.25? That must have been a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
When was that?
It's illegal.
I'll
kill
it. Yeah.
Well, that was through the 20s.
Oh, through the 20s. So
that was active hunting of alligators. Yeah, the last of 20s. We got married in 24. And then in 26, we got out and went to hunting. And we'd gator hunt in the summertime. And we'd coon hunt in the wintertime.
Well, this is over near the Gulf.
Yes, ma'am. It's over around Ferry there. Okay. We'd gator hunt in the summertime, though, and coon hunt in the wintertime, and then we would kill a deer all along through both seasons.
What kind of, what did you use for deer hunting and coon hunting then? Traps?
We used steel traps for coon hunting, but the deer hunting, we'd just maybe take a where you could see out on our head.
Paralyzes the animal or the...
Yeah, well, you'd shoot him and kill him. You see his eyes and shoot him and kill him.
Did you ever train coon dogs?
Ma'am.
Did you ever use coon dogs?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We got a hold of a little coon dog one time. Somebody gave her little brothers and sisters a puppy to play with in the yard. And when I started to trap him, I lost the coon. The trap bit his leg in two. And I went to the house and got that puppy and carried him up in the woods about 6 miles to where my trap was, and I set him out. And he just worked so hard, smelled around there, and he'd trail it off a little piece, and he'd come back and work around and trail it a little piece. And he might have trailed it as far as from here to Hard Road out there and treat it in a big old cypress with a hole in it. Excuse me. I cut a hole in there, and the old coon sitting up there with 1 foot off. So I shot him with a .22 rifle and let the dog pull him out and wrestle with him. We went right to coon hunting with him. That was all he needed.
That's all he did.
And he was a good one.
What was his name?
Bringer.
Bringer?
Bringer, yes, ma'am.
What was that?
It was a little red-looking dog. But... seemed like I'm choked up. We went hunting with him one night and it was cold. Water was about half leg deep off in an old swamp. And he got off out there and treed a coon. Well, we went to him. And the swamp had burnt out the summer before that winter. And the trees were bare, it was open. We went out there and he treed the coon and we looked up there and there at his eyes and shot him out and he jumped on him and fought him just a little bit. He dashed right off and went back out yonder about a quarter and went to running and come out on the rack. Well, he'd treat another coon out there.
They just go to the trees? And
we went out there to him, and he's sitting down there barking. We shot that one out. He whipped right back out there and went to running and brought another one around. There's three coons, and they treat one at a time, and he went back and treated every one of them. Come in there. We got all three of them.
How long did you hunt with him?
Oh, about 3 years.
What happened to him?
He died.
Didn't last very long.
Never.
Did you ever train coon dogs on a large scale? Like a lot, I know there's people that have 50, 60 dogs.
No, ma'am. Well, now that's the only one I ever trained. And I did that not knowing what I was doing. Because when that coon got out, I went and got him and put him on there, and he trailed him up till he treed.
Right.
Well, after that, we just go hunting, and he'd tree just like he'd been at it all of his life.
Why did you prefer to use traps to dogs?
Well, I didn't have every dog at that time. And about everybody around was trapping. They weren't hunting with dogs much. So after that coon got out, I went and got that puppy, and tried him on it. He did such a good job on it. Well, I told Mr. O'Quinn, her father, I said, we can take Bringer and kill some coons. He said, all right, we'll try. So a few nights after that is... in the fall of the year, the weather getting cool, So one night we decided we'd go, and we walked up in the woods about 4 or 5 miles and sat on some logs, and the dog disappeared. But after a while, he went to barking down there a piece. So we went down there and checked with him, and he's treeing up old cypress, I believe, to that big open. Mr. O'Quinn said, we'll go leave him if he wants to. I said, no, let's check with him and see what. I bumped the cypress and it sounded like a box. It's a holler. And I told him, I said, if you'll hold the dog, I'll cut this down in a few minutes. So I hit it and almost stick clear through the hollow part, or the solid part, you know, one leg. Just a few licks, the old tree fell. So he turned the dog loose, and right through that, down that log he went, and through that treetop, and the rest went to running, and he run off about a quarter. Coon jumped out and run.
This is the tree was felled?
Yeah. So about a quarter from there, they had cut down a tree that would holler from the bottom to the top, get some coons out of it.
Is that a good place for coons?
Yes,
sir. Hollow trees?
Yes, sir. So this dog went into the holler, and he went to treeing. We went on to him and got him out, and he run to the top, and the coon was done gone again. So he went on and treed the coon that time in a big old stump. Stump was about 30, 40 feet high.
So that's a big stump.
We cut the stump down, and when it fell, the top kind of jobbed in the mud like that and held the coon in there and at the top. We cut a hole in there, and there he was. I knocked him in the head with the axe and let the dog get him. That killed him, a big old coon. So from then on, all we had to do was just take Brander and go hunting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't heard of too many people trapping coons around here. I hear more about people raising coon dogs.
Yeah.
But why,
yeah.
Is there a difference in the area?
Yes, ma'am.
Because of that, why?
Well, some people don't want to trap because they don't want to go to them regularly, you know. And if you put your traps out now, we got a man down here trapping, and he don't go to his traps every 2-3 days. That's not right. You catch something in there and keep him there a day or two without any food, water, anything. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go to him every morning and kill him, get him out of his suffering, you know, than I had to keep him there. But he just goes every 2-3 days to his traps. But we don't do that. We go try to go every day. There's something in there, take him out.
Yeah. Is there a difference between people that hunt with traps and hunt with dogs in terms of whether they're doing it to make a living or whether they're doing it for sport?
Well,
is there a tendency for
both? Some likes the sport about it.
Well, is it considered a sport if you use traps?
Oh, no ma'am.
That's people that are just do it occasionally wouldn't use traps.
Yes, sir. If you're trapping, you're doing it more or less for the money out of it. Not in a sport to it.
Yeah.
Now, if you go out and hunt with dogs, and you know there's a lot of folks that they just count it sport to hear a dog run.
Right. Well, like one guy told me, he only takes his dogs out once a month.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's like, I guess, a hobby. You know,
yeah.
I don't know what he does with the coons. I haven't talked to him yet.
We got a man right down here, a neighbor. He's brother to the man that I work for over there, and he's got about, I don't know, I'll say several dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And he do love to fox hunt.
Oh,
he,
fox hunt?
Yes,
is that,
ma'am. Yes.
They're popular around here too?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you have particular dogs for each
right.
kind of animal? Is
yes,
there
sir.
A different breed of dog that's better for one
yes,
kind
ma'am.
Of hunting?
Yes, ma'am.
What are coon dogs usually around here?
Well, I don't know, but usually a plot dog, that's a stock of a dog, you know, a plot makes a good coon dog. And he makes a good bear dog.
Are there bears here?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
There's right smart bears through here, ma'am.
There's bears around
yes,
here?
Ma'am.
Well, they train their deer dogs with fox. You know, let them train them for running fox.
Really?
Yeah, they'll take them out and run fox with them and then take them off with a fox and go right on and put them on a deer, jump a deer and run them.
They run the fox, you know, to train the dog. That's what they do. They don't now, kill the fox.
Now, some
oh, guys... Oh, they just let them chase it?
Chase it. They just let them chase it to train their dogs.
But then how does the dog know to go after a deer? How
do
they...
Well,
they're older already.
They'll run the fox with him a while, maybe a season.
Uh-huh.
Well, then they'll take some deer dogs and take them fox dogs, too, out and jump a deer and put them fox dogs right in there with them, and they'll just swap right over and go running deer.
Oh, that's yeah. interesting.
They run a whole lot alike, you know. I know the
fox and the deer.
Yeah, I know the scent's different,
mm-hmm.
but it's in a way to where a dog don't mind it. They like
they
to run both of them, and they train them like that.
Hmm. If you're using a dog, do you pay that much attention to signs? Or does the dog? Do you follow the dog?
Yeah, you follow the dog.
Nick, if you were using a dog right now, instead of a trap, and you went out in the morning with the dog, how would it be different than what, where would you go that would be different?
Well, if I had to go out with a dog now, I'd take him and go down somewhere around the edge of the swamp, or either on the branch. Coons like to drift up and down the branch. But I'd take him and go out there early of a morning and let him tree that coon. I wouldn't hunt no sign, though, you know, for his tracks. I wouldn't hunt that at all. I'd let the dog find that.
Well, yeah. That sounds a lot easier.
Yeah. It's hit the right smart side in a way to go out and find coon sign, and they're peculiar. They're a different animal somehow or another. But he'll go get in that water, and they tell me, now I don't know, but I've been told by folks that they wash everything they eat.
Raccoon?
Yeah. They'll scratch it up out of the dirt, they tell me, and then they'll wash it. And he'll sit up there and eat it just like a little boy or a kid eating, you know, both hands. He'll get it up there and he's just as busy as he can be. And I watched him myself feeding. And he'll come along, for instance, this table is a canal. We just say that, you know. And he'll come along, he's up this edge here, and he's a feeling and a scratching around in every little hole there. And he'll go this way a little and he'll turn right back. He'll come around here, you know, just a doodling around. And every little old crevice in that bank there, he'll run his paw in there and feel for it. And if you ain't sharp, first thing you know, he'll pull something out and go to eating it. Crawfish or something, you know. And they catch little fish, you know, in dry places where the water's gone down. They'll catch little fish, frogs, tadpoles. They love frogs.
Well, do you catch other things in your traps besides raccoons?
Well, we caught something today I never known to happen before. We caught a crow in one today. Crow.
A crow?
Yes, ma'am. You know what a crow is.
Mm-hmm.
We got to a trap today down in an open pond. It was sitting there just off the edge of the water. That crow was in there.
Mm-hmm. In that tra- oh. So what, the traps that you checked today, when did you set them?
Oh.
Since you didn't set me yesterday.
Oh, Saturday.
Saturday.
Uh-huh. No. Day's Tuesday, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. No. Preston did it Sunday evening. He went set some Sunday evening. Preston did.
Sunday evening. And did you go and check those?
Check them yesterday, yes, ma'am.
But you didn't set out any new ones,
no, ma'am.
Okay.
No, ma'am.
Do you think you'll do it?
Yeah, we'll set out some more. I can't tomorrow, though. I've got to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's by being a poor man. I had to work.
Well, do you think you might be skinning any?
Well, I won't. If he gets any, he'll skin them tomorrow evening.
Your son?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
He usually gets into his place yonder about 2 or 3 o'clock, something like that. And then if he got any coons, well, he'll skin them for about an hour or so. Yes.
Does he ever treat the hives himself?
No, ma'am.
That's all done by the person that
brought
them?
Yes, ma'am. He's to be here, though, Thursday about 3 or 4 o'clock to buy the hides. You'd like to come out and see him?
That's if I'm in the area. 3 or 4 o'clock. And he's over from Lake City.
Yes, ma'am. He's out about 10 miles beyond Lake City, going towards Brantford.
So he does the tanning. I guess I'd have to ask him.
Well, he sells to another man. I don't know who. But he sells to another man. I like to hunt, though, and I've hunted it off and on all my life, you know, good portion of it.
How did you deer hunt?
Well, you go out, sometimes you use dogs. Some people do. We used to hunt with dogs.
So you had deer dogs, but not coon dogs?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you raise deer dogs?
Yes, sir. It's not a bad job to raise a deer dog, because most of them will run a deer. But a coon dog, it takes a kind of a special dog for that. Yeah, they're pretty bad to fight, and most of the dogs don't like to fight them that bad.
Wow.
They'll eat your dog up, too, if you ain't sharp. A big coon will whip 2 or 3 dogs.
And what did you say was the breed name of a good coon dog?
Plot makes a good coon dog.
Plot,
yes,
P-L-O-T?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Is that a mixed dog? Or?
Well, that's a breed of dog.
Breed.
Yes, ma'am.
So they're bred, plot dogs or bred dogs.
Yes.
Does anybody do that around here?
I don't believe we have any plot dogs right in here. We have had them here, though. Mm-hmm. They make good coon dogs and make good bear dogs. And since I've been here now, we've killed 28 bear. I've killed and helped to kill 28 bears since I've been here.
Did you take any pictures?
Yes, ma'am.
You do? You got some pictures?
Yes, ma'am. Let me see if I don't have one here.
I think telling that up here on White Springs, it's illegal now and all that.
Well, now, this hasn't been lately. That's a good while back.
Yeah. All of that bear.
She's hanging up there now. Here's his foot. We skinned it down a little piece of his leg.
Uh-huh.
See, there I am standing there holding the grandbaby.
Now that's years.
Oh,
yeah, that's
a picture. Where was this? Right, was this over here?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Was this your tree?
That's a tree we skinned him on right around here, just a little piece.
Now, where did you hunt him?
Oh, well, this one we killed him. No hole went around that old steel yesterday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Right on down by beyond that, probably a mile.
I heard gunshot.
Had you heard that there was a bear around?
Well, we had been working after him. We had killed several.
He got into the beans.
But this one.
Beans. Ah. Uh-huh.
We had killed several, and this one, somebody had shot this one. He got wilder. Yeah, but it had been done a long time. He was well. He had one eye out, and he had one tooth off, and he had one toe off of one of his feet, and he had two bird shots sticking in the skull right there. Done healed up and all. But I worked for that bear 6 years before I ever got to kill him.
6 years?
Yes, ma'am. He kept getting in the bees, and time he'd get in the bees and you'd find it out and go there and straight the bees up, he'd go somewhere else. But
did he have a name after a while?
No, ma'am. Just the bears all. He weighed 479 pounds.
Who got the bear skin?
Well, I sold it.
How much did you get for it?
$25.
$25. What, remember what year that was?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Let's see, Danny was 2 years old, and he's 23.
About 21 years ago, so it's about 7. You said you've been in this area for 28 years.
Yes, sir.
Well, it was right after we came here.
My gosh.
But I had already killed one there that weighed 480 pounds, and this one weighed 479.
Are there still bears in the area?
Yes, ma'am. There's bear here. Plenty of bear. We went...
What's the sign? How could you tell if there's a bear?
Well, with his foot. He walks and then he'll grab a tree and gnaw it like that and maybe bite it off. A small tree, you know, like yarn.
Mm-hmm.
You grab that and shake it and bite it off, break it off.
And then they got a track.
He pull palmettos and eat them. Throw it down, chew it off and throw it down. We found a trail today around the edge of an open lake, and that bear was coming down, and he'd walked till it was a ditch where he'd walked. Right down a trail, and he would come out to the edge of the lake and get water and turn and go back.
Wow. What's the variety of bear? What color are they?
Black.
It's a black bear?
Yes, ma'am. Little black bears.
Bears
in there. Yes,
ma'am.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, just telling Ruby that I've heard so many stories about alligators down by Lake George in the Astor area. And I talked to the Lucas family. I don't know if you know them. They have a fish camp down there and a restaurant called Hall's. And he brought out and showed me these homemade alligator harpoons that he had.
You want me to hold this, ma'am?
Oh, no, that's okay. I think I got it. I just fell off before.
Well, we used to kill a lot of alligators. Of course, now, this has been years ago, after the Depression, before the depression went out, you know, while it was in.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get any money at all. You go to work, folks would give you a little something to eat. Sack of meal, or sack of flour, something like that. But they wouldn't pay you. No money. Man told me, he said, if you want a dime in money, say you go hunt it, because I don't have it. But he said, I'll give you groceries, overalls and shoes where you work. Well, I'd go on and work, and I'd go chip boxes like today. Tonight, I'd go hunting and kill a gator or two. I could get money for the gator hide, but I couldn't get no money from the job. But I couldn't get groceries with the gator hide, because it didn't make that much. But I'd work in the daytime and hunt a while at night and buy what the family needed, what they had to have, you know.
How would you hunt for gators?
Well, you take a headlight, put it on, and take your gun and go around the ponds and the creeks and things and shine one's eyes and you ease up pretty close to him and shoot him.
So you just go out looking for him.
Right. The times was hard. And in the community we was living in there, her grandfather was a Methodist preacher and was too old to work out. And then her uncle was crippled up with rheumatism and could hardly walk. But them two men and myself was the only one in the country that didn't work on the relief. The rest of them worked on the relief for 83 cents a day. But I didn't ever do it, and they didn't ever do it. The rest of them would do everybody else out there, you know. They weren't working, they were standing up out there, propped up on the shovel, telling some big joke or something like that.
So you weren't turpentining yet then?
Yes.
Or you were?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I was turpentining then. I wasn't riding either, I was doing the work myself. I was shipping them boxes and pulling them. But I'd go out there and chip hard for 3-4 days and get it over for that week, you know. And I'd go hunting, go at night. And, of course, naturally, we lived hard, like all poor people, you know. We lived hard. And we had a garden.
She's heard them.
Huh?
I said, oh, man, she's heard those tales of the WPA way back up. You know, hard time.
You know, they have the WPA collection that they did in Florida. It's in the archives, the White Springs.
Well,
yeah.
That's the time she's talking about, right?
Yeah.
Do you know the name Stetson Kennedy? Does that mean anything to you? Stetson Kennedy, he did a lot of work in northern Florida, and he lives up in Switzerland, in that Mandarin, Switzerland area, and he worked on the WPA. He wrote a book called Palmetto Country.
Well, that's this country, that Palmetto Country, yeah.
Do you do anything with palmetto leaves anymore?
No, ma'am.
So they eat the hearts,
The bear pulled it up and eat the heart of it.
But they don't cut them out for commercial purposes?
No, ma'am. We found some today where the bear would catch it and pull it and would pull it off, you know, bite it off. I'd like to go kill that bear, but it's against the law to do it, so I'll have to let him go.
Now, if you're planning on doing that, how would you go about it?
Well, if I was planning on killing him, I'd just get me a good rifle, shotgun of some kind, and I'd go out there where that trail comes in, and I'd climb up a sapling, and I'd sit there. I'd say, he'll probably come out there. Well, now, I'd look at the moon. It seems strange to say that you would look at the moon to go bear hunting, don't it? But the moon is for signs and seasons. And there's one time of the month when that bear will feed before night.
What time's that?
That's on a new moon. Well, I'd find that new moon and I'd go out there, climb me up a tree side of that trail, and I'd sit there and I'd go, if I was looking for him to come out this evening, I'd go early after dinner where my scent would be blowed away, where he wouldn't smell me.
Why's that? I mean, why early after dinner?
Well, for my scent, if I walk out there, he would smell me, you see.
Uh-huh.
So if I go early enough, well, that'll be faded out
he
comes.
He won't come out for a while.
I'd go there and get side of that tree and climb up a tree where I could rest, you know. And I'd sit right there till he come out and I'd kill him. Wouldn't be no trouble much either.
Well, Did you ever do it like that?
Yes, ma'am.
Really? You'd go and sit in the tree and
just
watch?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We've killed, I don't know, some 4 or 5 like that. Go and sit out there and
Did you have to go back sometimes? More
yes.
than once?
Yes, ma'am. There's one fella down here. He's a good man, good neighbor of mine, and I just love him. He went turkey hunting one time back down in here.
Oh, yeah, the wild turkeys. How do you get those?
Well, I can't tell you much about that. I killed a few, but I just happened up on them and killed them.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, he went turkey hunting, and he went down in the edge of a hammock, a little drain. Branch, you know, went in there, but it was dry. He went in there to an open hammock, and he sat down behind a big black gum, big tree,
mm-hmm.
right on the edge of the drain. And he said he was sitting there looking out there to see if a turkey would have come, and he heard something and looked, and a big bear walked right by him. He said he could have laid his hand on the bear's back.
Oh, no.
Scared him, you know, because it would me, too. But the bear walked right by him and didn't notice him.
Huh.
So he sat right there and let the bear walk right on over.
This is one
of
your neighbors, huh?
Yes. But I've killed them like that.
What do you do after the season, after the coon?
Season?
Yeah.
Well, when the season, the coon season is out, I'm going to fix and plant me a garden. And I'm going to try to tend that and raise some vegetables.
And you can put out sweet potatoes?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I've got to get right now and pretty quick and plant me some bed of them where they'll come up and make vines to sit out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You take a potato and bury it in the ground and it'll sprout and come up. When it gets up about that high, you can pull them sprouts off and sit it out and that'll make your potato patch.
Oh, really? You don't use the pieces of potato like...
No, ma'am.
The other, is that just for sweet potatoes?
Yes, ma'am. Now, well, you can put the white ones like that too, but you cut them up.
Yeah,
white
right.
potatoes, you cut them up in pieces.
Uh-huh.
I never have grew any white as much, a few, maybe.
Can you plant sweet potatoes cutting them up, too?
Yeah.
But what do you think? Do you think it's better to use
Well, I don't think so. I've heard folks say that it was better, but I never could do it. Never did get the benefit out of them like that.
You mean to cut them up?
Right.
So you always use the vines?
Yes, ma'am. Plant them and let the vines grow up, pull them up and set them out again.
Do you have to hand set them?
No. Well, you drop them. Just go along and drop them and then take a stick and stick them down.
Do you use a transplanter?
No, ma'am.
You have to do it by hand?
Yes, ma'am.
Just drop
them. Right.
Okay. So it's a lot more work.
Yes, ma'am. And we did have to dig them by hand, but we found a potato digger. And that potato digger will dig them up and shake them out and leave them on top of the ground, right on the bed.
Oh, it's a machine.
Yes, sir.
Just like that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Is this it?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm. Oh, see them left up on the bed there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the way it does. Huh? Well, this is it, too. We got a potato digger right there that'll shake them out. Leave them right on top. All you have to do is just get there and... break the stems off, you know, pick them up.
Can I get your sweet potato pie recipe? On tape, I mean, we just put it on the tape recorder.
Oh.
Do you have any family sweet potato recipes?
This is the best one that I've got of sweet potatoes.
I raised my family at Turpentine, and mostly raised 4 boys and 4 girls, and I raised them off of the Turpentine, and just being lucky, I reckon I got them all educated enough, you know, to get out. Went through high school,
mm-hmm.
They're all doing fairly good, I think. Nothing extra, but they're going along fairly good.
Are they all in the area?
No, ma'am, there's 4 of them right here around Palatka. And I got 2 in Tampa, And I got one in Clearwater.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one in... Where's Miriam?
Homosassa
Springs.
Is that in Florida?
Yes, ma'am. It's down this side of Tampa, piece.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come back when I get my pictures back, and we can, if you know, take some time, and you can identify some of those tools again.
Yes, okay.
Since I didn't get that on tape. And what was the hammer called that had the...
It was for nailing up the tins, the gutter urns.
Tin puller, too.
Yeah, it had a tin puller on it, a nail puller on the hammer. And it was to nail up them tins with double head nails, little nail. It had two heads on it. When you drive it up to the head, then it still stuck up there about a half inch. You could catch it with a hammer and pull it out.
Oh, okay.
I didn't show you any of them. I don't believe we got any of them.
Yeah, I didn't realize there were so many tools involved.
Yes, ma'am, there's a lot of them. There's a... well, there's a... To start with, the broad axe. Then after the broad axe, you got a hammer to nail the tins on with. And then after that, you've got a hack to chip it with. And then after that, you've got the dip iron to dip it with. and the bucket, dip iron in the bucket. And then when you work it a year, you've got the scrape box to scrape it off in. And then you've got the barrel to put it in. And then you get up a little higher with it, you've got the puller to pull it to face with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the scrape iron and the scrape box to scrape the face with. There's a right smart of tools to it. And all of them, you're supposed to keep them all real sharp. But they don't do it every time, because they can cut green wood, you know, with a dull tool.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to make good gum, make it easy, well, keep your tool sharp, where it'll cut your wood smooth. And I never did learn how to...